did God create man, or did we crawl out of the slime pit? Still with us from Baylor University is Professor Robert Marks, PhD, Distinguished Professor of Electrical and Computer Engineering, co-author of a brand new book, Introduction of Evolutionary Informatics. Dr. Marks, welcome back.
Thank you.
How do you respond to the evolutionist that says there's no God, God did not make the universe, God did not make man, we just happened? How do you respond as a scientist and an engineer?
Well, first of all, I'm happy to talk with people that are theistic evolutionists. These are scientists which believe in, that evolution as Darwin taught it. And I think I have brothers and sisters in Christ that believe that, and I'll talk to them about it. But I don't like their philosophy because it simply doesn't work. You don't get something ex nihilo. You don't get something from nothing. And when we think of something from nothing, if you go back either to the Genesis creation or the Big Bang, so either what science teaches or the Bible teaches, before that happened, there was nothing, absolutely nothing. So I think of like the Big Bang as like a big empty space, at least the theory of it. And no, you can't do that because there was nothing. There was no empty space, and an empty space is something. So you get rid of empty space in your mind, and then you think, okay, no empty space. That's really a stretch. And then you think, okay, well, all of a sudden, no, you can't say that either, because all of a sudden assumes that time existed. And both scripture and Big Bang cosmology says that before the creation of the world, there was no time. So when we talk about creation of things such as people or the earth or anything, it is really from nothing. There was nothing. And in fact, nothing is so mind-blowing, I can't imagine it. I can't imagine no space and no time. But God created it, and here we are.
So it's like the story I share. Our youngest daughter was in about the fifth grade, and her mother and I were talking about homeschooling, and she was absolutely against leaving her friends at school. But one day at supper, my daughter goes, "Mama, we're studying the Big Bang Theory at school. How should I respond to the teacher?" For once in my life, I crammed more food in my mouth because God said she asked Mama, not Daddy. So I'm every ounce of my being, I'm fighting, wanting to interject, especially as a radio host. And finally, my wife answered, "Well, why don't you ask your teacher the next time she brings up the Big Bang Theory? Ask your teacher, where did all this stuff come from? If there, like you said, if there was nothing, but then there was something. Where did that something come from?"
Exactly.
So a couple of nights later, Rebecca, our daughter, was smiling like a stuck pig at dinner, and we knew something was up, and finally she just had to tell us, "Mommy, Mommy, Mommy, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy." The teacher finally brought up the Big Bang Theory again, and Mom, I did like you said, suggested. I just held my hand up. She called on me, and I asked her, "Where did all the stuff come from?" She couldn't answer that. She got all befuddled and put the book away and said, "Well, we just won't study that anymore." So a little fifth grader was able to get this this senior educator to stop mid-track because she asked. And now I'm sure the teachers are trained on how to respond to that. So how are the teachers that are teaching evolution and the Big Bang Theory, in your opinion, Dr. Marks, and wrapping up, what do they tell the student when they're asked, "Where did this stuff come from?" What does the teacher say?
In academia generally, there is a materialistic philosophy which is adopted, which means, yeah, the Big Bang Theory is fact, evolution is a fact, all of these things taught by Christians are incorrect. Now, the impact of that is terrible. Depending on the study that you read, 70-80% of students who go to church, who come to academia, leave the church.
Yes.
It's a terrible phenomenon which is happening. And I would place that at the fault of the church. The church needs to teach how to respond to these things, because there is, like your daughter has, a proper response. and very, very intelligent responses. And I actually think that the study of science and mathematics and such does not take away from God. It actually exposes God and His glory. And I think that if things are taught that way and people have a response, students have a response to all these atheistic onslaughts, that the world would be a lot better place.
Well, when the school teachers teaches there is, spoiler alert, we're going to talk about Christmas, when kids go to school believing in the bunny rabbit and Santa Claus and God created the heavens and the earth, and the school says, no, there's no bunny rabbit, there's no Santa Claus, and it's just a Big Bang Theory, there's no God, that child at an early age starts doubting. And I agree with you, Dr. Marks, the church does a very poor job in teaching apologetics to not only the seniors, not only to the moms and dads, but the teens, the tweens, and the toddlers. They don't know how to respond. And when the child, the parent, the senior citizen is in church being taught from the Bible, maybe 20 minutes every couple of weeks, but they're watching TV, going to movies, reading books, talking to their friends, listening to secular music. All the other time, God is pushed out. Friends, I've enjoyed this conversation with Dr. Robert Marks. The iRobot will not happen. Computers will not replace humans. They will not be infilled with the Spirit. They will not be dunked in the baptistry. Their names will not be in the Lamb's Book of Life. It still takes man to subdue the earth using God's resources in a responsible way. Dr. Marks, it's been great having you as a guest.
Thank you, Terry. It was an honor, and it was a lot of fun, too.